So I was in a conversation with someone the other day, right? And I found myself in a situation where I was kind of feeling uncomfortable. And it's happened a few times in different, you know, different moments and in different times. But I thought it'd be interesting to discuss it here on this podcast.
Okay.
So anyway, I was in this conversation and I could feel the conversation gradually getting to a place of, let's call it gossiping.
Slander.
Slander, right?
You're being a slanderer.
No, well, that's the thing. It didn't, it wasn't the intention and we weren't talking in that way, but the kind of the conversation just kind of traveled in that direction and I could feel it and I was getting uncomfortable, right? And, you know, I know it's like a common thing for females, especially for women to have.
We
love
a chat. Me.
We like to talk, right? Obviously, that's a known thing. We do like to talk.
Did the conversation go downhill when it came across like, E, have you heard about? but no, like the biblical definition of gossip is a tale teller or somebody who breaks trust or somebody who stabs in the back.
Okay.
Yeah, backbiting. It literally says gossip, and this is one of the things that people don't think much of, but gossip, I'm sure it's in Proverbs, it says that it goes deep into the morsels, so it goes deep into the person's bones who you're talking about and, like, destroys them if they hear about it. It says it destroys relationships, it destroys families, and that's why people don't say things to people's faces, put behind the back.
So this conversation was happening and I found myself being uncomfortable. And then afterwards, and I know I've said this to you a few times, like, you know, I hate when I get into conversations where other people are being spoken about, like it really like gets under my skin. But somehow I always fall into those conversations. And I know we've spoken about this before, how, you know, sometimes we might overlook that sin. You know, we might overlook the sin of slander or gossip, and especially when you kind of compare it with other things, you think, oh, that's not as bad as something else or other sins that are, that have spoken about in the Bible. But I'm pretty sure it even says that slanderers will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, yeah, because going back to, like, the root definition of gossip and slander, where it comes from, it says it comes from a depraved heart.
Oh, gosh.
Literally, like, the Bible speaks strong about it.
Yeah.
You're right in what you're saying with regards to we take a scale of what is sinful and what is more sinful.
Exactly, yeah.
On that note, you know, Catholics, Roman Catholics teach that there's venial sins and mortal sins.
Mm.
So that actually says there is a scale that exists. Now, we don't hold to that, but you know the whole famous seven deadly sins?
Yeah.
That's what the same on mortal sins.
Mm.
So just for context, if you commit a mortal sin and then die, you're going to hell.
That's what Catholics believe.
Yeah, that's what they believe. We don't hold to that, just for clarification, we don't hold to that, but that's what the Catholics believe on this scale of sin, that if you commit a mortal sin, which is an intentional, grave sin, and then die, you've got no hope. You're supposed to go straight to confession, do whatever the guy tells you you've got to do, A, B, and C, and then you're right with God. Because a mortal sin, according to the Catholics, breaks that relationship with God. You come out of grace. People will probably be going, well, what's the seven deadly sins? Off the top of my head, I don't know if you know any of them. Do you know any of them?
Lust.
Lust is one of them.
Greed.
Greed. Envy, malice, pride.
Ooh, pride. Yeah, I can see that one.
Sloth and gluttony.
Sloth?
Sloth.
So the question really is all sin equal?
There's a common phrase out there that people say, they say, sin is sin. And that is true. Like, sin is sin. It's the breaking of God's law. Mm. So is all sin the same? In some respects, the answer is yes. It's a breaking of his law.
Yeah.
Yes, all sin is that. But the answer is also no, not all sin is the same, because there's different degrees of sin. Now, I'm not talking about the same as how I did with the Catholics, yeah? I'm talking about there's different degrees of sin on this side of eternity. What I mean by that is one of the most obvious degrees of sin is the degrees of consequence. So some sins have greater consequences on this side of eternity than others. So let me explain. If we went to Asda, right? Asda is a big corporation, it's a big superstore, millions and millions and millions of pounds, okay? And we went in there and we stole some bread, some ham, some butter, some mayonnaise, some cheese, and some crisps, right? We stole those things. And We ran away, we jumped in our car. That was that. We had sinned, we had stolen. However, the next day, we go and we go down and we see a family on the street. Mm. Family of seven, say, and they had a little bit of bread, a little bit of ham, a little bit of cheese, they had some crisps and some mayonnaise. That's all they had. And then we decided we wanted sandwiches. We went and stole from them. It's still a sin. It's still theft. Mm. But the consequences are greater, the more grave for that family. See, us stealing from them will probably lead to hunger, suffering, maybe death.
Yeah.
As though I'm going to miss it. But is it still wrong? Is it still a sin? Yes. Is it still wrong in God's eyes? Yes.
Mm.
Is the consequence on this side of eternity more grave for the family? Of course it is. So another example of this is sexual immorality, lust, adultery, right? Let's say a single guy is struggling being single. He's not married. He's going through all of the battles that come with that. And he decides, right, that he's going to watch pornography. Mm. It's between him, his computer screen, and the Lord, right? Mm. He decides to watch pornography. We know that that is a grave sin. It has grave consequences. It's bad.
Mm.
But we know that Jesus also says if you even look at a person with lust, you've committed adultery, right?
Mm.
What happens if he goes and sees his best friend and his wife is there as well? Mm. His best friend says, look, I'm just going to nip to the shops. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Then he sleeps with his best friend's wife.
Mm.
It's still adultery. It's still sin.
Yeah.
But which has the greater consequence?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, looking at it from this perspective on earth, it would be the physical act of it, wouldn't it? You're doing something that's...
Yeah, you're breaking up families. You're defiling the marital bed. Yeah. You are destroying a beautiful thing because the word says keep marriage sacred. You're betraying all kinds.
Yeah, and I do think that it's very common that people compare the sexual immorality, if you know what I mean. Like, there are certain sins that we know, sexually immoral sins, that God says are an abomination, you know.
Yeah, it's easy. Easy to point the finger at, say, let's just say to the homosexual relationship who are having sexual relations there.
Mm.
Yeah, we know what the Bible says about that.
Mm-hmm.
But remember what Jesus said about hypocrites?
Yeah.
That's a problem, like hypocrisy. So it's all sin the same in that sense? The answer is no. There's graver consequences on this side of eternity for it. But the second degree that we can look at when it comes to sin is the degree of punishment, right?
Mm.
So we know that the Bible tells us that you're going to give an account for what you've done. You're going to be judged for what you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we look at the scriptures, we know that there's certain things that are called greater sins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jesus looked at Pilate and then he told him that those who handed him over, the Pharisees and the Jews and the scribes, are guilty of a greater sin.
Yeah.
And it also tells us in the scriptures that it's going to be better off for those who are in Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for other types of people.
Yeah.
So there is greater degrees of punishment when it comes to sin. Now, I'm not going to start speaking on what those greater degrees of punishment are because the Bible's quiet about it.
Yeah.
And where the Bible's quiet about it, it's great wisdom that we should also be quiet about it.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that the scriptures talk about hell.
Mm-hmm.
And weeping and gnashing of teeth. So moving on from that, we know that we have the issue of intentional sin and unintentional sin.
Mm.
Now, there's a big difference in that, right? It's the act of pre-planning your sin. That is considerably worse than falling into sin. Let me put it that way. You can fall into sin or you can plan to go and sin. But what I think it is important to say with all of this sin talk, and I think it's quite missing when we talk about God. God doesn't love us any less. If you're in Christ, God doesn't love you any less when you sin.
Yeah.
His love isn't like a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't love you any less when you tell a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't love you, catch my heart when I say this, any less when you commit a murder.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it grieves him, but his love doesn't change. However, with that said, we also know that we need to come back in total repentance.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I found myself, the more I've matured in Christ, like when I do anything that is considered sinful in any way, I often feel this intense feeling of guilt before God. You
That's
know,
exactly right. Yeah,
I feel like, oh God, I'm sorry. You know, the first thing I feel is I'm offending God here. Mm. You know, and that's sin, isn't it? You're offending God.
It's exactly what it is. Mm. It's exactly what it is because the world sees it as horizontal, right?
Yeah.
I hurt you and you hurt me.
Mm.
But first and foremost, when we sin, it's vertical.
Mm-hmm.
It's between us and God. One great example of this is David, right? A man after God's own heart, right? Now, he wasn't a perfect man. What I love about the Bible is it's full of imperfect people serving and seeking and being sought after by a perfect God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, David sinned big. You want to talk about the snowball effect of sin. David went up to the roof, right? And he was there, and he looked across, and he checked out Bathsheba, right? Bathsheba was bathing on the roof. David had a choice to make.
Mm.
He could turn around, run in prayer, or he could submit to the temptation to stare at the beautiful woman on the roof doing her thing, and that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he desired her. Mm. Like, desire and lust is such a strong temptation. It's so strong, man.
It's so strong that he had her husband killed.
Exactly right. Yeah. So lust led to murder.
It did, yeah.
Right, so Uriah, he was sent out to the front of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
David stayed back, deep in lust and in sin, in his pit. And Uriah was killed.
Yep.
But David said this, right? And this is the response of the Christian. This is what I want to get to people who are listening and encourage them in this, right? David was a man after God's own heart. What was his response? You just like alluded to it before. You said, I grieve before God when I sin. And David says this, even though he'd killed Bathsheba's husband and slept with her and did all the stuff that he did before anything, first and foremost, he said what? He said, to you alone, God, I have sinned against.
Exactly.
I have sinned against God.
Yeah.
And when we choose to go against him and choose our own way, we first and foremost sin against our Creator.
And you've probably often heard that term, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And it very much reminds me of Psalm 51. The psalmist says, I don't know if it's David, it might actually be David, where it says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken and contrite spirit. And, you know, a contrite heart is broken before God. It's a saying, you know, not my will, not my way. It's surrendering. It's having this brokenness before God to say, you want to hate your sin. You want to hate it so much that you want to despise it. Because if you don't hate the thing that keeps allowing you to fall and stumble, you will keep falling and stumbling into the same things because you've got to look at it as though you hate it, you know. And
for what it is, you know, David said another thing. He said, search my heart, O Lord, show me the hidden things. He's basically saying, splay me out.
Yeah.
Cut me to the core, open me up. And if there's anything that is in there, any sin issue, anything, if it's pride, if it's lust, if it's malice, whatever, remove it, God, because I want to glorify you. I want to love you and I want to know you more than anything.
Mm.
And the Christian isn't the one who doesn't sin.
Yeah.
The Christian isn't sinless. The Christian is on the journey of sinning less.
Mm-hmm.
And he grieves and he mourns and he's broken over this sin. And that's why David, although his sin was bad,
very bad.
Talking about scales of sin and that, it was bad.
Mm.
But that his response was repentance.
Yeah.
It was brokenness. And that's, as Christians, is the adequate response.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how new believers, that's often the place they come from, you know, that place of recognizing their sin and being broken over it, because that's what leads them, you know, leads them to be able to repent and seek God and want salvation, want that cleansing of sin. And I think, obviously, once we're in Christ, we are new creations. We're made new. The old has passed away. Behold, you know, we are new. But it's a case of walking out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm.
And, you know,
reverence.
It is reverence. It is. And it's going, you know, when I do fall, when I do stumble, I'm not going to just be like, oh, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'm safe from by grace, so it doesn't matter.
It does matter in a sense. Yes, you don't lose your salvation because you've sinned. You're not going to, like you said before, God doesn't love you any less in that moment. And while we know he's already paid the cost, but we don't want to walk in that way. We don't want to walk in sin. You know, yeah. we're supposed to be sanctified and be holy as he is holy. He asks us to be holy for he is holy. Yeah. And he says, those who love me will keep my commandments.
Yeah. You know, metaphorically, biblically, people would tear their garments yeah. out of grief. And mm-hmm. we must grieve over our sin. And we must go to war against it.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord has called us to be holy for he's holy, but he's also give his spirit. He's also give us the Holy Spirit, who is greater in us than any temptation. Mm-hmm. There's always a way out, and we have to go to war against it. We yeah. have to have this spite against sin mm-hmm. and a great love for God, because what I think is important, and catch this when I say it, is it's not just enough to say, I'm going to stop sin.
Mm.
It's not just enough to say, I don't want to do this anymore because I don't like sin.
Mm.
We sin and we continue to do so is because we've replaced the pleasure of knowing God. We've replaced the pleasure of being in his presence above all else. David said this, he said, I long to be in your presence. I paraphrase, I long to be in your presence because mm-hmm. at your right hand, there's pleasures for any more. Now, what we're doing when we, especially when we're in habitual sin, when we continue these cycles of sin, we are saying that I'm taking greater pleasure in this than I take in you, O Lord.
Mm.
We're saying, this satisfies me in this moment than you, God. Now, the Christian is the one who cries out, open me up, splay me out, show
search
me.
Search my heart.
Search my heart, yeah? Because I want you to be my greatest joy. Yeah. I want you to be my greatest comfort. I want you to be my greatest satisfaction. Knowing you, Jesus, and becoming more like you, Jesus, is what I want yeah. above all.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, like, what I would want people to kind of maybe think about from this podcast is what is your response when you do find yourself stumbling and falling? You know, do you have that brokenness over it, or do you kind of just brush it? But the reason people end up falling into deeper sin is because they haven't dealt with the little sins. And, you know, we've got to take every thought captive as soon as it comes. We've got to put on our full armor. That's why, you know, Ephesians says to put on the full armor of God, because temptations will come. Sin is bound to come knocking.
So
it's
creeping at the door.
It's creeping at the door, you know. So we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready for that battle. It's an absolute spiritual battle that we've got to be ready for. And we're not immune from it, you know. We've got all authority. Jesus has given us all authority. Mm. But we need to be prepared to, you know,
put on Christ,
pull out our sword,
yeah, get
and
to work.
Use it.
Because the reality is, right, it's exhausting.
Mm.
It's difficult, but it's worth it. So on that note, is all sin the same? I would argue yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
But where all sin is the same is it massively offends God.
Mm.
All sin offends God. All sin leads to death. Mm. All sin separates our relationship with him. And all sin was dealt with at the cross.
That's right.
All sin can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's absolutely nothing that you could have done. There's mm-hmm. nothing that I could have done that is not dealt with through Jesus Christ. Right. He says, once and for all, Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could be washed clean and forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if it's lust, if it's lies. Our issue is that inherently we're sinners.
Yeah.
We need a new nature.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ did that at the cross. The Bible tells us that because we couldn't save ourselves, we were dead in sin, that Christ Jesus paid our cost at the cross, satisfying the wrath of God.
Mm. Amen. And what's beautiful is that he did that while we were sinners.
Yeah.
You know, while we were sinning, while we were doing all the things that we're doing, while we were rejecting him and far from him, he did that.
Yeah.
He did that for you. He did that for me. And that's just, you know, it always blows my mind that he did that. Because when I think about myself, where I was, you know, far from him and rejecting him and not wanting anything to do with him, that's when he died for me in that time. It wasn't when I came to him and said, I surrender now. No, he died for me when I was rejecting him.
Mm.
And that's just amazing.
And it's wonderful. And that is the gospel. Let me say it again, no matter what you've done.
Mm.
When you're in Christ, there is no condemnation.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. And it's important to say this, that God did not do that reluctantly.
Mm.
God didn't save us reluctantly. Jesus didn't go to the cross reluctantly with his hand stuck behind his back going, I suppose You know, he cried out in the garden because he was fully man and fully God, saying, if there's no other way, but he still went so that we could be forgiven. The Bible tells us it's God's great pleasure to give us the kingdom. And that's because he loves us and he's full of mercy, full of grace and full of truth. And the world needs Jesus.
Amen.
In a world full of sin, in a world full of darkness, we need Jesus.
Amen. Oh, we need him every day.
He's all sin the same. All sin was dealt with through Jesus Christ.